We're gonna try this and see what transpires. A bunch of different styles to fill our desires. It's gonna be super fun and full of wit. Robert Bacon is the host and he's full of it. We're gonna try it. After we like it, maybe we'll try it again. Maybe not though, podcast.
Welcome to Try This Podcast, a podcast where every week we try a whole new theme style and or topic. I'm Robert Bacon. This week, my guest is Caleb George. Caleb is a big shot over at Comedy Sports Chicago, so make sure to check him out there. Also, like I say about everybody, they perform all over the city, so you can check him out. Whatever. Now, there are tons of podcasts that do movie reviews on bad movies, and many of them have already reviewed the movie Mac and Me, which, if you don't know, is a horrible E.T. ripoff that lost a ton of money back in 1988. If you haven't seen it, you should. It is bad. But Caleb had a different idea. We would pretend to be the writer and the director of the movie, and we would explain our choices in the movie, and we wouldn't see it as a bad film, but are actually proud of it. We also make some character choices on these people based on articles that we read about them and their IMDb page. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoy the director's cut of Mac and Me.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is the Director's Cut, where we analyze some of the masterpieces of cinematography history. I have a pleasure of introducing myself. My name is Stuart Raphael, and I am the director and co-writer of the movie Mac and Me. With me today is my co-writer in this endeavor, Mr. Steve Feeky.
You can call me Feeks.
We all call him the Feeks.
The Feeks.
Well, I will say that this was one of my best, if not my very best. But I did other movies as well.
Yeah, what else did you do, Stu?
I did the 1984 classic, The Ice Pirates.
Ooh.
I also did that year the Philadelphia Experiment.
Ooh.
Fantastic movie.
That's the prequel to the movie Philadelphia with Tom Hanks, right?
That's correct. Yes, it's how he got cancer. Then also I did Mannequin 2.
I'm sorry, did he get cancer or did he get AIDS?
I'm sorry, AIDS. I forgot that it was, you know, Philadelphia is one of those movies where it is the cancer of my career. The one I don't normally like to look back on.
I wouldn't. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Tammy and the T-Rex, 1994.
Oh, Tammy and the T-Rex. Can we... You know my favorite part of that movie?
What?
The T-Rex.
Yes.
It's great.
Yes, T-Rex is definitely a character that I enjoyed helping come to life. Denise Richards, I couldn't make come to life if I had a puppet up her ass.
Oh.
You know? Yes. So this was the most enjoyable movie that I've ever made.
You know, it started off. It didn't start off okay.
Right. We had our problems with this one.
We got about a lot of people don't know this.
Right.
But the actor, what's the kid's name?
I believe it was Jade Caligori.
Oh, yes, Jade. I didn't write this with a paraplegic in mind. We had an accident about halfway through filming, and we had to reshoot everything with him in a wheelchair.
Right.
He was a big sport about it.
Right. Initially, he was supposed to fall off the cliff and just jump into the water. Turns out halfway down, he hit the side of the cliff, broke both of his legs. So we reshot it. And of course, we used a fake body the second time. But it's a shame.
We learned from our mistakes.
Yeah, we did. We did.
You don't let a kid who's a track star run off his own cliff,
no.
Do his own stunts.
But I will say, he was game in the wheelchair, so we decided to write a 20-minute action sequence with the wheelchair, the van.
Yeah, originally it was a bike.
Originally it was
him,
a bike.
An alien, and a bike.
We were going to put the alien in the basket
in
the bike.
I don't know where I got this idea originally from. Mm-hmm. It kind of struck me. But anyway, Stu Brew, what do you want to talk about this masterpiece that everyone loves?
Well, I think I would like to talk about where the inspiration for just it all came about. You know, there's certainly moments that I feel are very iconic and brought certain certain things to life. You know, no one knew what Skittles was before here, and this was
Skittles was really down the tubes before this happened.
Right, we were the. We did for Skittles that NASA did for Tang. We really brought it to life, you know? Mm-hmm. And I believe this is the first movie in history of movies where an alien ate some sort of candy that it had never eaten before. And that experience with an alien taking on or eating our food was unprecedented. Yeah.
Can I say something that made me upset?
Of course, yeah.
Years later, watching the film Men in Black.
Yes.
There's a scene where a character named Edgar needs to drink sugar water.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that was a direct ripoff of our movie. Mm-hmm. An alien who needs to drink sugar water to stay alive. And it's a clear ripoff of Mac and Me. Exactly. And it made me upset. I'm still waiting to hear back from my lawyers. And they've made three movies, so...
Speaking of that, I believe this movie also... not very many people knew about Coke before this movie was made. And I'm...
They were just a small southern bottling company before we had it. Actually, you know what? Let's go... We'll be honest. We had a few sponsors.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't have a few sponsors? If you want to make movies, you've got to make sure that you have a budget, right?
Yes. And some people who helped us with our budget, the Chicago Cubs, Skittles, Coca-Cola, Snorks, Zenith, Sears, the Chicago Bears, Backpack Vacuum Cleaners, Valvoline, VW Vans, but not McDonald's. Everyone comes up, the very first thing that people say to me is, oh, McDonald's must have paid so much money to be in this.
No, absolutely not. In fact, the budget of the movie was $13 million.
Yes.
And I don't know that we could have gotten to that point without having a few sponsors for certain.
Yes.
Now, the movie also raised or grossed $6.4 million, and some people would call that a failure. They would say, well, you didn't make your money back. Well, here's what I would tell you.
You don't know movies.
You don't know movies. This is the 13th highest grossing quadriplegic, paraplegic movie of all time.
All time.
Just below Whose Life Is It Anyway?
Yes, which they made a TV show about.
Right, exactly. And, of course, very short of the movie Avatar.
Barely.
So I think
Avatar didn't have
a
McDonald's in it. So I just want to throw that.
They did not. But I just want to throw that out there and say, of course, you could pan it for being a box office failure, but I would disagree with you.
I think we made up most of that in VHS sales and DVD sales in the hearts of millions.
Laserdisc. A Mac and Me was huge on Laserdisc.
You bought a Laserdisc?
I don't even know really what a laser disc is.
It's a big CD.
Then yes, I bought a laser disc.
I still watch it on that.
Oh, well, I appreciate that you watch your own work and go back to it from time to time.
Well, speaking of that, well, what scenes do you want to talk about in this movie? What are some things that fans, that you want the fans to know?
Well, I think there are certainly some very brilliant... Of course, everyone brings up the dance scene within the McDonald's and... Yeah, I think the most important thing to remember is that Jennifer Aniston is actually one of the dancers in that movie.
It's very difficult to work with.
It's very difficult to work with. She was 19 at the time as well.
She refused to call me Finks.
Oh, Feeks, yes.
Feeks. She refused to call me Feeks.
Well, at that time you were trying to go by Finks.
I was.
And then she refused to call you that, so then Feeks
came up. Reason why I get called Feeks, actually.
Right, exactly. Well, she... you know, I'm upset because years later, I made a call to NBC Studios. And I said, you know, here, I've worked with this very talented yet, you know, difficult young actress. And I think she would be part of a great part of your new show that you're trying to launch. Friends, it was called.
Never heard of it.
Well, it's a cult classic, certainly has a small following. But I never got a thank you card. I never got anything that said thank you for launching my career, Mr. Refill, you know? And
she's just that way. And, you know, she refused to wear a bra.
And those turns were tight. Her titties were out everywhere.
Everywhere.
And I'll be really honest with her. After the shoot, I had sex with her in my trailer.
What?
Yes,
whoa!
Yes.
Stew brew.
No. I will not apologize for that.
Wow.
She was a young, virile lady that I wanted to take into my bed, and so I did. And then months later, she's in Leprechaun, and then her career takes off as soon as I make a call to NBC Studios. No, I am not grateful. gratitude, you know, for all the things I did for her. And I've always been slightly upset by that.
Well, you should.
But there were many things that I think inspired. I know you talked about we talked about the dance scene, but there are many moments. I think the biggest inspiration that I wanted to infuse in the project is, you know, every masterpiece, certainly sci-fi masterpiece, has undertones, right? Like Alien, right? It's all about the womb. So I thought I wanted to do the same thing with Mac and Me. So I thought, what could I do that could be a representation of the human body, right? But I want to do something different. So I thought of it like this. Let's make their look like the gaping asshole of a human being. Mouths open, slightly puckering, as if it had been recently spread wide, you know? And I don't know if people picked up on that or not.
I don't think that they did. I don't want to take credit for any of that design, because when I wrote this, I kind of wrote it with an alien with big eyes, a large forehead, a very skinny neck, a very short, a long glowing finger. Like, these were the ideas that I had. But like, when you came on and you started talking and you drew that first one, and I'm like, well, never mind, I was wrong.
I was wrong.
This is the right way to do it.
And I think I don't want to say that I didn't take in your thoughts, because ultimately the final Mac was
the same color I wanted.
It was certainly a compromise. I just wanted to make sure that the back of the head looked like the butt cheeks of a human being, and that the mouth looked like the gaping asshole of your local neighbor or someone you could connect to, you know, so that every time you saw Mac, you thought, oh, that's something. I get it. I get him, because my asshole is gaping just like that. I think that's important. I think that for us to connect to any extraterrestrial, we have to see what ourselves in them, and that's certainly what I was going for.
Also, I know we briefly touched on when he falls off the cliff.
Sure. Yes.
A lot of people don't know, I originally wrote it that Jade's character actually dies after falling off this cliff.
Right. Yeah.
But after he broke his legs, I felt really bad about cutting his character, so we kept him around, made him the main.
Right.
Main character in the film,
but keep in mind, in the end, he does die again.
Yes,
and so we had to, you know, it was kind of an homage to his almost death.
A little inside joke among us and the whole cast.
I mean, the cast got it.
The cast audiences thought it was amazing.
Right,
audiences, we don't make a movie for an audience.
Right. We make movies for ourselves. Did I mention I made Mannequin 2 on the move?
Stubru, you made Mannequin 2?
On the move, yes.
I love that
it's
one.
It's a good one, yes.
Okay, sequels that are better than the original? Godfather 2.
Right.
Back to the Future 2.
Correct.
Weekend at Bernie's 2. Mannequin on the Move 2.
Mannequin 2 on the move, yes, in that order.
From worst to first.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. Yeah, it's another one of my masterpieces. There were many changes throughout this entire movie. You know, originally the mother was that part was offered to Kim Basinger.
I remember
and
that.
And Angelica Houston, both of them. Unfortunately, we were working on other projects, so we offered it to Christine Ebersole, who is famous for the movie Black Sheep. If you've ever seen that.
Sequels that are better than the original. Black Sheep
is better than, you know, Tommy Boy, the original. So she was delightful, wonderful, the realest part of the movie, I felt.
No, I know. I feel like we're really gushing over this film. And yes, it is one of the best films of all time.
Right.
But I feel like maybe we should just touch on one thing that we think that maybe we could have gotten better at. And I'm going to be honest.
Yes.
I might have forgotten to write in why the alien and the kid liked each other. I forgot to write that scene where they have something in common, where they connect on an emotional level. I think I forgot to write that.
That's tough, you know, because I noticed it in the filming. I certainly did. Halfway through, I thought, why do they even care, you know? especially since this alien was so awful to this boy for the first half. So I want to apologize as well, Fiki, because, you know, I didn't help. I did not help. But you're right. You're right. I mean, I think we both made huge mistakes in the making of this film. I feel like I laid on too strong the metaphor of, if you're going to be an alien in this country, you have to conform to the American way. You have to wear the suit and tie and drive a pink Cadillac. And I feel like I ham-fisted that a great deal.
Before they drove around a VW bug, or VW van, so they're not real Americans yet, they're Germans.
Exactly.
They're illegal
immigrants. Another metaphor to, you know, to World War II, of course.
Oh, that's throughout the entire movie.
Because, I mean, isn't it perfect metaphor that when they're driving in the VW van, a German vehicle, it's as if they are Jews in 1945 Germany, right? We're keeping them concealed by a German setup, right? And then once they're American, they are then driving a pink Cadillac, right? Yeah,
just like a similar vehicle that Schindler drove off in Schindler's List.
Exactly, right?
You can't tell because it's black and white, but it was pink.
It was a pink Cadillac. So, I feel like sometimes people don't get the underlying tones of it, and maybe that's because I made a movie that was too smart, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's my fault.
No, no, don't. Too much on you. You know what? Let's get back to how awesome this movie is.
I'm sorry.
What else did you want to talk about?
I there are so many things I think that that I would like to talk about. I mean, when we started working on this project, we wanted to make sure that the science of this was 100% accurate, right?
Oh,
we
so
were
much
meticulous
research.
About it.
Right? I read a whole book.
Yes. Correct. I was quietly impressed by it.
I finished the whole book.
Yes, it was very...
I didn't return it. Oh, no.
Did you...
The feeks messed up.
Oh, the fines are going to be...
Oh, well...
Out of this world, if I may be allowed a pun.
That's why... Right. Oh, man.
Right.
I don't know what I did with that book, but it's, whatever.
You know, at this point, I don't even remember what the book was that you read.
It said science on it.
Science, nice.
So I just read a whole science book.
Right. Well, I mean, it's 100% accurate within the movie. Whatever you read in that book, you definitely applied.
Oh, 100% did.
And we double-checked it with Carl Sagan before he
Carl Sagan showed up on set?
Yeah.
He left early for some reason?
I think we were shooting the scene in the beginning with the spaceship, I remember calling him over and saying, "Hey, Carl, take a look at the spaceship. How accurate is this?" And I remember him shouting with glee.
Yeah, and throwing his hands in the air.
And
pointing.
And he couldn't be there anymore because he was so overjoyed with everything that
I
was going
on. I think he's like, "You guys know what you're doing."
Right.
I think it was right after you said, "And then they get sucked in here."
Right.
Yeah.
But it was nice to get his stamp of approval before we walked out. And of course, this movie is one of those movies that pave the way for future sci-fi movies. I don't know if you saw Mission to Mars or Ghost of Mars.
Speaking of Ghost to Mars, just for our listeners, a little trivia from the Feeks.
Sure.
I watch any movie with the word ghost in it.
Right.
Ghost Dad, saw it. Ghost Rider, saw it. The movie Ghost, one of my favorites.
Right. Strangely, I keep telling you to see Casper, but you say...
It doesn't have the word ghost.
It doesn't have the word ghost.
Not going to see it.
And I keep saying, you know, but it's about a ghost, so I feel like you would enjoy it.
If it was about a ghost, there would be the title, it would say ghost in there.
That's true.
But again, I saw Mission Impossible 4, Ghost Protocol.
Again, most of these movies don't actually have a ghost in them.
Don't they?
They don't. So I feel like if you're trying to see a movie that is about a ghost, you should see Casper.
I think I've seen the third Casper because it's Casper 3, how a ghost gets his groove back or something.
Oh, yeah.
So I've seen that one,
right, and it was
no good. So I doubt the original was good.
Sure. Yes. Well, yes. I feel like that's to each his own. I'm not going to win that argument. And I stopped fighting it a long time ago, Feeks.
Well, we fought, had a big fight on set.
I didn't think you would bring this up. I can't believe we'd be talking about this.
Looking at the scene.
You're going to make me furious. I promise you that if you're trying to be playful, playful is the last thing that I want to be doing with you. If you're talking about what I think you're talking about.
We were in that cave.
Fix.
We were in the cave.
Yes.
The mine cart cave
right.
where they left the aliens to die.
Right.
I got a big fight in front of everybody.
Yes, of course.
And in front of all those windmills.
Right. Yes. I know you were upset, right?
I'm so upset.
I know that you were upset with me because you didn't feel like we could shoot this scene in front of the windmills.
I didn't like those windmills.
I know you were scared, right? But the windmills weren't going...
Windmills cut up oxygen and it's impossible to breathe.
Look, I don't know where you read that. And I bet...
I read it in that science book.
I don't think... that science book is 100% accurate. I get that you're upset, right? And the argument here was, does oxygen or windmills cut up oxygen?
How does it not? It's a big giant blade. It's a science book
from
a Scientology library.
Feeks, do you own a fan in your home?
Of course.
And when you turn on the fan...
Yeah.
Does it cut up the oxygen, or do you continue to breathe?
Oh, it cuts up the oxygen. That's why I point it away from me.
Then why would you have a fan in the feeks?
To get things moving. Cools everything off.
Exactly.
When you cut oxygen molecules, coldness is released. And that it's the reverse sun. Like, the sun is hydrogen and helium, and a fan is oxygen, and it makes cold. That's what the Scientology science book said.
Right. Now, look... I know that you read a book about Scientology one time.
Science. Yes.
Science. Scientology. It's the same thing.
I read the whole book.
I know that you did.
The whole book.
I know. Look. I know. All right? Look, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this, okay? Because I own stock in wind, okay? I own stock in wind,
You can own stock in wind?
Yes, of course.
Stew brew. What?
One day a salesman came to my door and said, "I let me offer you an opportunity. What is more abundant than wind?
Stew,
get
bro.
On it now, you know? People need wind.
Stu.
It's huge in Chicago. Everyone's buying it there.
Stu. Hey. Who's your favorite Captain Planet character?
Oh, the red ring of fire.
The fire?
Yes.
I thought for sure you were going to say wind.
Oh, that would have been a good answer. Yeah.
No. I have a slight
crush on the one with fire.
The redhead?
Yes.
The ginger?
The ginger.
Ugh. All right, what is something that somebody always wants to talk to you about?
Sure. I think that everyone is I keep hearing this name of Steven Spielberg. I keep hearing it. And I don't know who that is. And he keeps referencing another movie. And I keep going, I don't know what you're talking about.
I get that all the time, too.
Yes. I don't know what exactly it is that they're referencing.
It has something to do with the moon? I think it's the movie Cocoon.
Sure.
You know what I always get asked?
What?
Because at the end of the film, it says, we have the alien blow a bubble.
Right.
It gets huge. And the bubble says...
We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Right, right.
And then it pops. And then everyone's like, when are they coming back?
Right.
Feeks. When's Mac and Me Too going to happen?
Right.
When's Mac and I?
Oh, that's it. I get asked it all the time. You know, I'm not opposed to it by any means. Unfortunately, funding has been tight.
Mm-hmm.
We've approached several companies about possibly getting sponsored again.
I can go over the list of ones that we...
Yeah, go over the list of them.
Here are the ones that said no,
right.
So you know not to purchase from them.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. The Chicago White Sox.
Right.
We thought it'd be a nice tie-in.
Right.
Mounds Bars.
Mm-hmm.
Pepsi Cola.
Mm-hmm.
Smurfs.
Right.
Panasonic Televisions.
Yes, of course.
JCPenney.
Mm-hmm.
The Chicago Fire. That's a soccer team.
Right.
Backpack. Vacuum cleaners. We asked them again.
Right.
Volvo.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And Burger King.
I was really banking on Burger King. I really thought that that would be a home run.
Because we need to have another dance sequence, and it can't be McDonald's again, because people will be like, oh, it's the exact same thing.
Same movie, right.
You know, it's Wendy's just reached out to us, and we don't talk to me, Wendy's.
Right. So I suppose if we do get the funding we need, we will explore that option. But
I mean, we still have all the aliens, right? Still have all the costumes.
Yes, unfortunately, all the people that played the aliens are dead.
Chips died?
Chips died, yes. Actually, it was a heat stroke during the film.
He died from that?
Those suits were made out of pure plastic. Could not breathe.
I just thought he went away for a while.
No. Oh. At the end, we're just holding the plastic up with strings.
Yeah. Which looked a lot better.
Well, Chip's body was still in there. It's just we were holding it up with strings.
Oh my God, that totally explains why he didn't respond to me when I was talking to him.
Right. He was dead inside the plastic.
Yes. That's where they came up with the idea for Weekend at Bernie's.
That's correct. Yes, which I was also approached to direct.
Oh, yeah.
And I turned it down.
You should.
I did.
Yes. That movie's, the sequel's better, but
oh, yes.
Also, hey, NASA, we helped you out big time last time, all right?
Right.
You've had some problems lately. Maybe you shouldn't, you know, throw some bones our way, huh?
That's the other thing I get all the time. People come up to me and tell me that, you know, I'm Stanley Kubrick, right? Some people have accused me of the shots are so real that I may have shot footage that they used in Curiosity's landing when looking at
Mars.
Yeah. And I get that all the time.
It looks very similar.
It looks very similar. The planet at the beginning, which is nondescript, right? That, people say, Mars? And I go, no. You know, as much as you want to believe in NASA, hired me to shoot. I did send you.
I remember I sent you a text message when I saw it. I said, "Did you do this, Stubro?"
Right.
And I grilled you on it.
Right.
And I'm going to grill you right now, Stubro.
Right.
Look at me square in the face.
I'm looking at you,
Stu. Right. And you tell me you did not fake the Mars landing. You're looking around.
I cannot, NASA.
Do you hear this? We will release this information.
I will deny it to the end. I would never lie to you, Fix.
NASA, did you hear that? We're gonna blow the lid off your little organization unless you give us the funding for Mac and I, or Mac and Me Too, or Mac is Back, or Mac Attack, or Mac is in Burger King.
Oh,
or finally, I can get a Mac at a Burger King.
Ooh.
Or Mac-a-lack-a-lack-a.
Hey, can I stop you right there? I feel like you hit a home run on the first three or four, and then you kept going. So,
are you sure?
Yes.
Mac-a-lack-a-high, Mac-a-hiney-ho.
All right, now this is the part where I'm going to stop you.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Mac.
Okay.
Terminator Mac.
It has been a pleasure.
Jurassic Mac.
Okay.
Jurassic Mac 2.
Well, I will say that I am definitely, just go out and see my latest film, which is called Bad Girl Island.
Mac Island.
Okay.
Mac away.
Right. This has been such a lovely time catching up with you, Feeks.
It's been fantastic, Stubro.
And, you know, this was a masterpiece. I look back at the canon of my career and I say, I don't know that I would have wanted to make such a great film with anyone other than you.
Oh, thanks, Stu.
So,
same to you, buddy.
I wish you nothing but the best of luck. Let's work together in the future on any sequels, maybe this sequel that you're thinking of Mac and Me 2. And
Mac and Me 2?
Yes.
I like that title.
Great. It's been a pleasure.
This is between that one,
the director's cut,
and hold on,
discussion of Mac and Me.
Mac and Me 2, The Deathly Hallows.
I hate you.
That is this week's episode of Try This Podcast. If you like this podcast and you want to hear more, you could find all our episodes at trythispodcast.com or on iTunes. And while you're at iTunes, If you'd like to leave us a rating, review, let us know what we can make better, let us know what's really working and we should do more of, that would be awesome. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can send us an email at trythispodcast@gmail.com, or you could write on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/trythispodcast. Make sure to check us out next week. We'll have a whole new episode that feels like it was plucked right from another podcast. I'm Robert Bacon. Keep trying.
We went and tried this and saw what transpired. This particular podcast filled our desires. We had a lot of fun and it was full of wit. Robert Bacon was our host and he's full of shit. We went and tried this, now that it's done, it's been done, but never was before we did it ever. Podcast.
You're drunk.